that message, just the title. I know he's lived this, he's walked through it, still walking through it, and as his pastor, I've got to witness it. But as a I felt like I needed to speak over this and introduce Dusty as a pastor, and just to, as somebody that's watched him walking with the Lord, and I know it hasn't been easy. And there's a scripture in Psalm 68, verse 6. This was what the Lord put on my heart. And it says that God sets the solitary in families. And I'm going to explain what that means. That means that God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. He knows everything that's coming down the pike before we do. And several years ago, I can't remember what year it was, Dusty and Betty were living in Weatherford. And when I planted the church here, and when we planted the church here in Leedy, if you told me all y'all were going to be here one day, I'd laughed, because I didn't have much faith, even though I knew God had called us to plant the church. And if God would have told me, you know who one of your elders is going to be, is Dusty Welty, I'd have really laughed. Yeah. But Dusty and Betty were living over in Weatherford. We were meeting uptown on Main Street, and they started coming to church. And Dusty and Betty followed the Lord in water baptism up here on Main Street. And then I saw things begin to happen in their family, and especially in both their families, but in Dusty's family, that scripture, God sets the solitary in families. It was like God used Dusty. And Dusty, I don't think you've ever thought about this, but I saw it, and I know a lot of us did. But God used Dusty to point his whole family to True North, which is that way, and True North. And I just saw all of his family just start coming in. And some of them, they didn't all come to church here. Now, Rex and Jacqueline did, but some of them started attending church at Hammond and just getting plugged into church. But I saw that they were watching Dusty, even though Dusty wasn't preaching to him or anything like that. They were just watching Dusty, and they fell into line. That God created a vacuum behind Dusty, and that was the scripture that God gave me for Dusty, Psalm 68, verse 6. Now, I've watched Dusty, and he didn't ask me to share this, but I just feel led of the Holy Spirit to share this, because I want you guys to know that he has walked through this, and he is walking through it. But as a pastor, I just remember not too long ago talking to Dusty on the phone, and it was when his brother-in-law unexpectedly passed away, and I had to call Dusty and tell him what was going on. And I can remember Dusty through tears on the phone going, "Mark, what in the world is going on?" Okay, as a pastor, this is what was going on, uncomfortable trust. And then I can remember being right outside those doors with Dusty after we had his mom's celebration of life here at our church, and Dusty coming up to me and hugging my neck and weeping, and we're standing right beside his sweet mother's body. We know that she wasn't there. She was in heaven, but we're standing right next to her casket, and Dusty's holding my neck and weeping. And then I had the privilege and the honor of being with Dusty and his family when Rex went home to be with the Lord. He was in a hospital in Oklahoma City at St. Anthony's. And Dusty had to, you know, Rex and Jacqueline had been coming to church, but Dusty wanted to have that blessed assurance that his dad was at peace and ready to go. And he had that conversation with his dad before his dad went home to be with the Lord. We were there that evening at the hospital, and I want to say this is what I felt the Lord put on my heart, because I know a lot of y'all's story in here. We're all walking through this uncomfortable trust. That's where you put your faith in the Lord and you just walk hand in hand with him. But I was in that room, guys, and I said that it's a privilege and honor to be in the room when Rex went home to be with the Lord. And I just want to remind Dusty of this before he comes up here and shares this message. I want to remind all of us. But I saw Rex. I saw in his eyes that he saw the other side. And he let go and went home. And I know it's hard for us on this side because we want him to stay here with us. And But when he saw the other side, it was like, let me go. And so I want us to, I just want to tell all of us that uncomfortable trust, we're all walking in it. We're walking it. Everybody in here is walking it. But there is another side to this story. And even though in this side of life, sometimes we sow in tears, and we do. But there's going to be a day that we're going to reap in joy. That's going to be our harvest time. So with that, I want you to know that you're going to hear from somebody this morning that's uncomfortable trust. He is walking through it. He's got the T-shirt and the cap. He's wearing it, and he's wearing it right. And I know there's been days where he don't feel like he's doing it right, but as his pastor watching him, he's doing it right, and he's staying faithful to the Lord. Amen. So I want you to put your hands together for our elder, Dusty Welty. And Dusty does a great job around here. He takes care. Yeah, give him a hand clap. Takes care of our church finances. He takes a load off my back, I can tell you that. And Dusty is a great guy. So, Dusty, come on up here and share the word. Give him another hand clap.
I don't know who brought the onions to church today, but it's not a good idea. Amen. It's good to be here this morning. Yeah, it was Easter Sunday 2004 is our first time to come to church. And up here, and it's kind of funny how it all got started. I had my shop in Weatherford. Like you said, we was living in Weatherford, and God started sending a guy by me. Well, before that, I drove a delivery truck for Schwann's, and so I got to meet this guy. And when I decided I'd had enough of that and went back to doing what I really liked, was leather work. Well, he started coming in, and he come in one day on his Harley, and I thought, man, this is a guy's got it going on. And I'll tell you why this is funny. He was a preacher of an Amish church, and it's just not something you think about. But he was a really good guy. And we talked a lot, and it got me to thinking a bunch, and I'd even thought about, you know, that's where me and Bay need to go to church. But God, he had other plans, and anyway, we got to hearing about Mark and Jada, and I'll tell you, one of the first things I heard about this church was you got to be careful when you go up there, because they're jumping over pews and everything in that church. And I kind of thought, you know, I gotta go see this. And when we walked in there the first time, it was on Easter Sunday, and I don't remember how many chairs was in there, maybe 50 or 60, but it was packed. And the chairs, if you remember, if you went to church at that time there, it was tight. I mean, there was no way in the world anybody was jumping over them chairs. Anyway, you know, but we started coming over here, and as we were driving and stuff, God just got to speaking to us, you know, that he wanted us to move over here and be near the church, and so we could just help Mark and Jada out, and which, you know, I thought maybe that was mowing the lawn or washing the windows or something. I'd have been happy doing that. But, you know, he's got other plans. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, you can go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. And this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food." Amen. Here's a question that we have today. Are you comfortable in your relationship with God? Show of hands, are you comfortable in your relationship with God? Are you comfortable where you're, even if you're not totally where you want to be, are you comfortable on the journey God's taking you? Amen. So if God was to say to you right now what we just read in Matthew, if he said go right now, would you get up and go? He's saying right now, go. Isn't he? And he's saying to go. I mean, he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we're the kingdom of heaven that's at hand right now, aren't we? And he's saying to go. But there's always that uncomfortable trust there that gets in my way. I mean, like, for example, I mean, how many went out this week and preached? Did you heal any sick? Did you cleanse the lepers? Did you cast out any demons? I cast out a few this morning, I tell you. But that's what God wants us to do, and it just, I don't know about you, but it's just going out. It's just not in my wheelhouse. Just like coming up here and standing before you. I would rather be back there with Betty and Mark be up here. Our uncomfortable trust, it gets in our way. And here's just some of the things that, you know, that God has dealt with me over the years and probably you too. But the first one is the big one is getting up in public and speaking. I mean, I've had a hard time getting up and speaking in front of one person, let alone 10 or 20 or 50 or a greater crowd. Some people struggle with this one, raising your hands in worship. You're just uncomfortable doing that. Amen. Hug and howdy time. If you weren't uncomfortable with it, Mark wouldn't give you a chance to go out and get a cup of coffee or go to the bathroom. Amen. These are just some of the things, like I said, that are just uncomfortable. I mean, there's thousands upon thousands of reasons why. But we're going to look at three things today from Matthew 10. Two of them are going to look at a little bit more than one. But the first one is preach. And this is me right here. I'm going to put them down. I printed this big enough where I can read it without them. Exodus 4, chapter 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. That's me. I'm just telling you right now. So the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. There's a good sign right there that shows us where God and Jesus are one. You can look at this, you can look up here in Matthew where Jesus says, go. And then God in Exodus telling, go. I think that's our purpose right there, is we're to go. No matter how uncomfortable we are. And Moses replied, but he said, Oh my Lord. Now, I've said that a time or two. I will be with your mouth or no, excuse me, I got on the wrong line here. Oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Now, we don't want that, do we? No. I kind of had that here a while back. Mark asked if I would preach for him. And I don't know. I was just at that time, and I was just struggling. I'd arguing with God. I just didn't want to do it. So in my mind, I decided I was too busy. I had too many things on my plate, and I just didn't have enough time to devote to this and to prepare. And so I told Mark that, which is all right. Until God told me, you know, he said, you were supposed to share the message that we're hearing today. It was supposed to be heard. I don't remember when that was, 3 or 4 months ago, 2 months ago or something. And I want you to share that word, and you need to get over that. And he just wouldn't let go. Like I said, you know, it's been one of my greatest fears. When Mark was talking back a while ago, I remember something my granddad Welty, him and my grandma, there a few years before he passed away, they give us all a book for Christmas. One was, I can't remember what the exact title was, a story of grandma and the story of granddad. Anyway, they just wrote in this book about their life and as a child and as they growed up and things they'd seen and stuff. And in my granddad's, he wrote in there, he said, being shy as a child and easily embarrassed. I was shy and easily embarrassed as a child, what with being born naked and all. So that's where I got it. So I was born naked, so I'm shy. When I got to this point, I don't know if you remember, we was up there in the other church, and I'm trying to remember what year it was when y'all went on your sabbatical. 2006. But we'd had a TFAC and guys come in and I'm talking to Mark, and you know, they were going through some stuff, had never really grieved over the loss of their son, and they just felt like they needed some time away, needed like to take a sabbatical. So him and Jay took a 3-month sabbatical from the church. And we didn't know what was going to take place during that time, but they were meeting. I think y'all met out at Linda Laster's, didn't you? And that night, me and Bay sitting there at the house, and the phone rang, and it was Mark. And he says, hey, they think they're wanting me to take a sabbatical. And I want you to leave the church while I'm gone. And I said, no. I'm going to come to help, not lead. But I said no, and Mark said, great. We'll work out the details in a little bit, and then I'll get back in touch with you. And hung up. And Betty was like, what did you disagree to? And I'm like, I said no. Listen to me. No. But anyway, during that time, one of the things they wanted to do was, I was just starting to help with the finances a little bit at that time, and they wanted to have a guest speaker come in every Sunday. I was like, okay, we can do this. And then they got to figuring out what we needed to pay these guest speakers each time, and I got to thinking, we can't do this. what are we going to do? And it was like God started, why don't you speak? And I was like, no. I'm not getting up in front of anybody. You know, I might get up there and introduce somebody, but that's going to be about it. But anyway, long story short, here I are today. And it's simply just trusting God, even though I'm uncomfortable right now. I wear baggy jeans so you can't see my knees knocking. Amen. Daniel 10:11. And he said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. It's okay to stand trembling before God. Amen. Daniel stood trembling. If Daniel can do it, then we can do it. You say, well, Daniel was special. Well, you're special too. Amen. It's time for us to stand up. Even if we're trembling, we need to stand up. The second thing that we see in this scripture in Matthew is healing. Like I asked earlier, you know, was anyone healed the sick or cleansed the leper, raised the dead or cast out demons? Scripture tells us in Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3, that bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and who heals all your diseases. It's the benefits package. Why do we struggle so much with our healing? In the church, we should be walking in health and healing. Amen? And I don't know what, if it's the way we were raised. Just growing up and being told, you know, that the doctor is the only answer, or medicine is the only answer. This is one I struggled with quite a bit, especially with my dad, but, you know, just praying constantly. You know, I asked God a bunch why I didn't heal him. And he really never gave me an answer, other than I guess it's just his time to go home. You talk about uncomfortable. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes. Everybody say that. By his stripes. I am healed. By his stripes. We are healed. Amen. We'll move on. Dang onions. God. This is one I really wanted to get to. This is one I think a lot of people struggle with or are uncomfortable with. Polls and research prove it out, whereas somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20% of the church actually do this, which says that 75 to 80 or 80 to 85% of the church is uncomfortable with it, and that's money. Money, 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 money. And you can't talk about money unless we talk about tithing. Oh, here we go. I told you, Myrtle, when we got there, that preacher was going to talk about money. They want our money. Yes, we do want your money. We need your money. Got pretty nice chairs there to sit in, amen? It's pretty comfortable in here right now, isn't it? Pretty nice building. We're pretty blessed. You know, we spent somewhere, knowing the size of the church, the giving is pretty good. And especially when you think about this, we spent about $450,000 on this building and everything in it. $160,000 of that we paid cash. The rest we borrowed. And how long did it take us to pay it off?
6 years.
We've been pretty blessed. But we can't stop giving. Just this year alone, we spent about $8,000 just on repairs and maintenance. It's a constant deal. You think, well, the new building and everything, you don't have that. But we've got upkeep. So let's read about, and then let's talk about some myths that go with tithing. Malachi chapter 3, verse 5, or verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. Let's look at some myths. I was reading some stuff last night. I always like to go and Google, especially on tithing, because it seems like every time I get new stuff. One church in there was asked a question, what is a tithe? And their reply was, well, a tithe is a tenth of your increase that's to be given to the church. And then we, in that process, we give it to the conference. The conference gives it over here to Jim, who runs a different kind of conference in the same organization, who he then gives it to a state deal, and that state deal then gives it to a national deal. And that's wrong. Plain and simple. But the first myth we want to look at is, we're a New Testament church. So tithing was Old Testament. It doesn't apply to us. Yes, it does. And God proves it in verse 6. It says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Amen. The same God back then is the same God today. So we give. Not because we're a New Testament church or an Old Testament church. We give because God asks us to. We tithe because that's a commandment. It's not a heaven or hell. Don't get wrong. It's not going to determine whether you go to heaven or hell. We'll talk about it in a minute, what it really is. You hear this a lot. Well, we don't. Back then, they gave food as their tithe. They gave of their increase. They give the first 10% of their crop to the church. So the men in the church or the leaders in the church would have food so they could continue studying and preaching the word. So that don't apply to us today because, well, we deal with money, yeah. But we still have farmers in here. We got Kirk. He's going into the custom wheat sowing. Got that. We work for money. Amen. That's what we use to buy our food. Some people raise it. It doesn't matter what you do, but your increase, the first 10% goes to God. I was just wondering if he was disagreeing with me. I guess we could do one thing, though, talking about the food deal. You could bring food for your tithe. You could feed Pastor Mark and Jada. But I'll tell you, I mean, he's a big old boy. It's going to take a lot of food, amen. We've got Patricia. That's the two we've got in here that we pay salaries to. So you'd have to be bringing food to Patricia and Micah. They got a big family. Be one way to do it. We hit on this a little bit while ago, but the tithe can be given anywhere. If it can be given anywhere, why did God say to bring it to the storehouse? What is the storehouse? The storehouse is this building right here. It's where we gather and meet as a church family, where we get fed. We get the food that we need to go out in during the week. And this one right here, this is my favorite one of all. I actually heard this being discussed in a local business 3 or 4 years ago, and it was just like, oh my God. I'll just tithe my time. I just want to tell you right now, there's no possible way you can tithe your time. If you have that thought, or if you know somebody that tells you that. First of all, a tithe is 10. A tenth. That's what it means, is a tenth of your increase. So how can you determine what your increase is of your life? The second thing is, you don't know how many days on this earth you have. How can you give 10% of what you don't know that you've got? But here's the best one that God showed me was, let's just say that let's just say 70 years. I've got 70 years. That's how long I've got on this earth. So if we tithe off that, then we're looking at 7 years. That's every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every week for a year. It is 24/7 that you've got to give your time to the church. For 7 years. Well, that's kind of impossible, isn't it? When you sleep. So let's break it down to an 8-hour day. That'd be a third, then, right, of the day, 8 hours. So then we're looking at 21 years. for 21 years, you've got to give 8 hours a day to the church to tithe your time if you knew for a fact you had 70 years. So don't let people tell you you can tithe your time. Amen. Here's what the tithe really is. It's a blessing. In verse 10 it says, "And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." I joked while ago that we needed your money. Well, we do. You know that. And everybody in here is very good at supporting the church. What I want you to get is the tithe. The tithe is where the blessing is. That's what opens the window. That's what allows God to provide for you. It's you're saying, "God, you've got my heart. I trust you in an area that makes me very uncomfortable. I'm going to trust you." And verse 12 says, "And all nations will call you blessed." I want to be blessed. Amen. It all comes down to this. It all comes down to our uncomfortableness, especially mine, is our heart and our mind. It always gets in the way. It tells me I can't do something that God has ordained for me to do. That's one of the things that I argue with him all the time about. Simply because in my mind, I've convinced myself that I can't do that. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you will get through your uncomfortableness. Is that a word? Uncomfortableness. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Matthew 19:26, "With God, all things are possible." There's two words in those two scriptures that we have to focus on. And it's all. We can do all things with God. All things are possible. It's not, "I can do this with God. God, I'll pick this one." We had some choices up there, to preach, to heal, or to not take any money with us. You know, "God, I'll pick, well, I pick, oh, that's a hard one. I'll pick casting out some demons. I'll do that one. And you get somebody else to do the other ones." That's not what God is asking us to do. He's asking us telling us and showing us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. Again, don't let the uncomfortableness of what God is asking you to do keep you from receiving God's best for you. The battles we face as Christians begin in the mind. Your life will always move in the direction of your most dominant thought or thoughts. So knowing the truth of what God says about you is of utmost importance. Your future needs you. Your past doesn't. And it's our past that always holds us back. It's our past that will keep us in that uncomfortable feeling that I can't do anything that God wants me to do. God wants me to go and speak. I can't do that. Yes, you can. We just have to trust him with all our heart. Amen. Amen. Oh, I don't feel near as nervous. Amen. How about you? Is anybody in here uncomfortable right now? I haven't made you uncomfortable? Okay. That's good. We're going to wrap up, and we're going to wrap up with this. This is something that I heard from Billy Graham. It's nothing to do with the message. It's talking about salvation. And he said this. He said, salvation is free. God puts no price tag on the gift of gifts. It's free. Preachers are not salesmen, for they have nothing to sell. They are bearers of good news, the good tidings that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Money can't buy it. Man's righteousness can't earn it. Social prestige can't help you acquire it. Morality can't purchase it. It is, as Isaiah said, without money and without price. God is not a bargaining God. You cannot barter with him. You must do business with him on his own terms. He holds in his omnipotent hand the priceless, precious, eternal gift of salvation. And he bids you to take it without money and without price. The best things in life are free, are they not? The air we breathe is not sold by the cubic foot. The water which flows crystal clear from the mountain stream is free for the taking. Love is free, faith is free, and hope is free. In Romans 10, verses 8 through 13 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. It's that simple. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. All we got to do is confess that and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we shall be saved. It's that simple. And here's the thing I want to say to you, that especially to the guys, make sure your family knows. We would all like to know, but make sure your family knows. It brings great comfort. Here we go again. But it did with my dad. But it took me till he was on his deathbed for us to have that talk. But it brought me comfort when he put his arm around me and said, I'm okay. Jesus and I are okay. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed to let people know. Because it bothered me for a long time. That's a whole other story. I tell you, the night before he passed away, maybe I can get through this and we'll pray and I'll be done. Mom wanted me to stay. We didn't know it was his last night. It ended up being his last night. But it was, I don't know what time it was in the morning, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't sleep. I was just sitting in the chair. And for the last I don't know, 18 or 24 hours, about all Dad could do was mumble. You couldn't really understand him. But but I was sitting there in that chair, and he was mumbling. And I really wasn't paying attention, you know. I was just kind of lost in my own world. But the last word he spoke was Jesus. And I just sat up in the chair and I just said, thank you, Jesus. It's important that your family knows. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day and this opportunity to share your word here with your people. And I just pray, Lord, that you were honored today and your people were blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all.
So, but y'all can, there we go. So, give Dusty another hand clap, guys. That was an uncomfortable trust. So, Dusty, here's the deal. You get to be me today, so you're going to stand back there, you and Betty, and yeah, and people are going to come by and hug your neck just like Clark did. So, because guys, that yes, you are. Yeah. that was a great word, guys, a great word. And next Sunday, Mark Shell will be here ministering, and so we're going to have a great month this month in harvest time. And Dusty, I appreciate that word, brother. That was powerful. We all needed to hear that, and that's the faith walk. The just shall live by faith, and sometimes it is uncomfortable. All right, so I want everybody to stand up, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you this morning as we go out. And Dusty and Betty are going to be back there to greet you. You guys have a blessed week, and if anybody needs any prayer, special prayer, Jade and I will be here, and then we're going to be, if we can have some guys help us get set up for the shower, too, because we're going to have to rearrange the furniture in here this before we leave today, so we'd have some guys that would sure help, and Jada and Patricia can tell you where all the chairs need to go. All right, I'm going to speak a blessing over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Love y'all. Dad says there's 10 dozen eggs that he tithed back there on the counter. So everybody help yourself. If you need eggs, go get some eggs back here at the back.
Freedom reign, freedom reign, freedom reign over us. Freedom reign, freedom reign, freedom reign over us. Freedom reign, freedom reign, freedom reign over us.
Heaven and earth.
you changed it all, settled the score. To save our lives, you gave up yours. Freedom was found upon the cross, a ransom paid to rescue us.